Epiphany. A revelation, a making known or making manifest something that was previously hidden. When we hear the words the Epiphany, most of us immediately think of the story of the Magi traveling to pay their homage to Jesus, the infant. The liturgy of our church, however, gives us three stories that are epiphanies, especially during this C cycle of liturgical readings. I first came to realize this some years ago when I was praying the Liturgy of the Hours one morning. That year I noticed how the antiphon for the Canticle of Zechariah at morning prayer for the Feast of the Epiphany didn't just reference the Magi. The prayer reads, to quote, "Today the bridegroom claims his bride, the church. Since Christ has washed your sins away in Jordan's waters, the Magi hasten with their gifts to the royal wedding, and the wedding guests rejoice, for Christ has changed water into wine. Alleluia." Close quote. One commentator describes last Sunday's feast of the baptism of the Lord as Epiphany Part 2. In the Eastern Church, Epiphany, or Theophany, meaning manifestation of God, evokes these three different scenes in the life of Christ. And in fact, a lot of the religious art, will there'll be a triptych with all three of them tied together. So what do these epiphanies teach us? Well, first and foremost, what they have in common is they all reveal who Jesus is, repeating basically the message of Christmas, the mystery of the incarnation, that God is in our midst in the person of Jesus Christ. But each of those three epiphanies present us with secondary messages of who we are, and how we should be if we're going to be faithful disciples of Jesus. With Epiphany Part 1, the story of the Magi, there are two very basic teachings for you and me. First of all, the Magi represent the nations, the Gentiles, all of us who are not Jews, and teach us that Jesus came to save not just the chosen people, Israel, but that because of Jesus, we all become chosen people. And God's saving love is for all people. It's clearly a message of universal salvation. A second lesson in this story, and Matthew carves this very, very beautifully, powerfully. He contrasts the reaction of the Magi to Jesus' birth with the reaction of King Herod to that same birth. The Magi come to pay homage to the newborn king. King Herod strives to kill the newborn baby, even slaughtering all the male infants in the area. The Magi bless this new life. King Herod curses this new life. Now we have a definite parallel here to our time today as we approach the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Do we bless new life or do we curse it? Do we protect defenseless new life or do we terminate it, bring it to an end? The Magi give us a wonderful example of being free enough and aware enough. The many graces that life gives us, the giftedness God showers upon us, so that we are able to bless one another. And that's what Jesus in this first epiphany calls us to. We are called to give blessing. One more thought from Father Ron Rohheiser, who writes about this mystery. He says, "If I think and act like King Herod, I will get to feel like King Herod, fearful, jealous, bitter, and hateful. On the other hand, if I think and act like the Magi, I will get to feel like the Magi, positive, confident, grateful, and generous. Think about that contrast. So our first epiphany teaches us that Jesus was blessed by the Magi. Our second epiphany, Jesus' baptism, teaches us that Jesus was blessed by his heavenly Father. When Jesus had emerged from the waters of the Jordan, and he's being baptized by John, Luke's gospel last week informed us that the skies opened, a voice from heaven came down and said, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." You and I have been given the same grace and the same call. The very same voice that spoke to Jesus has also spoken to you and me at our baptisms. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In you I take delight. Like the hymn expresses, "Before the sun burned bright and rivers flowed, I called you each by name to share my home. No longer be afraid, I am your God. My love will never end. Alleluia." Originally, that last line read, "You are my sons, you are my daughters." If we believe that, we too can become agents of blessing. Pope Francis obviously heard that voice, for we see and hear evidence of it in the news reports about him time after time. The way he teaches, what he teaches, how he interacts with people, especially those on the margins and most needy, sharing Jesus' love and mercy. Our third epiphany, bringing us to today's gospel, the story of Jesus at Cana, gives us another lesson. And notice how skillfully John the Evangelist tells the story for us. As it opens, it is Mary that's really center stage. Jesus and his disciples are almost an afterthought. Remember how the wording was? There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And then, oh, by the way, Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When Jesus changes the water into wine, that's that epiphany on the first level, first lesson. It reveals to us who Jesus is. The glory of God shows forth, and his disciples began to believe in him, we heard. But the Gospels teach us that Mary is the first disciple of her son, and she's the preeminent disciple. She's the one that we're called to imitate. It is her example that teaches us how we should act and who we are called to be. Mary is the one who was alertly paying attention in this story. As usual, the men didn't have a clue. Mary notices. Mary ponders. Mary reflects, which equals praise over. Mary treasures people and events in her heart. She sees. Remember the Johnny Nash number one hit from back in 1974? "I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day." So Mary, first of all, recognizes the plight, the problem of the married couple, that they were about to be embarrassed. No rose-colored glasses here. She sees and acknowledges the difficulties. Secondly, but she goes on. She doesn't stop there. She goes on to also recognize that God's presence is there, which she knows is able to work through her son, Jesus. Here I'm reminded of another song that describes this dynamic. 1971, Noel Paul Stuckey came out with this. He's of Peter, Paul, and Mary fame. And it was entitled The Wedding Song. Remember in that antiphon for the Feast of Epiphany, the church used wedding imagery for all three of our epiphanies, not just the Cana feast. He is now to be among you at the calling of your hearts. Rest assured, this troubadour is acting on his part. The union of your spirits here has caused him to remain. For whenever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love, there is love. How well do we see? How aware or sensitive are you and me? First, of others' needs. Secondly, of God's presence in whatever situation we might find ourselves in. There's so much evil and violence in our world today that there's a considerable danger that for many of us, that becomes all that we're able to see. The problems, the negativity. We become blinded to all those good deeds that occur daily, but they don't make the headlines. It's a point Pope Francis has called us to, reminded us of time and again over the last several years. So our three celebrations of Epiphany, the Magi, Jesus' baptism, the wedding feast at Cana, teach us, first of all, that we are all blessed. Like Jesus, our Savior, we are the beloved sons and daughters of God. Second, that we are therefore called to bless others. And third, that no matter how bad things may appear, God continues to be in our midst. Emmanuel, God with us. And there is love. At the beginning, I referred to the antiphon for the Canticle of Zechariah from morning prayer from the Feast of Epiphany. As we close, I'd like to cite from evening prayer for that same feast day the antiphon for the Canticle of Mary, Mary's Magnificat. This antiphon reads, "Three mysteries mark this holy day. Today, the star leads the Magi to the infant Christ. Today, water is changed into wine for the wedding feast. Today, Christ wills to be baptized by John in the River Jordan to bring us salvation." End quote. We're no longer in the Christmas season, but in this liturgical year of our C-cycle readings, on the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, the Church gives us Epiphany Part 3. All three epiphanies teach us that we've been given all that we need to be able to heed Pope Francis' invitation to counter the senseless violence that's so rampant in our world today, not by cursing or rendering violence back. That's not the way to cure it. But by, and I love this phrase our Holy Father has coined, by bringing about a revolution of tenderness. A revolution of tenderness, that's the way to counter violence. And by becoming, again, in Pope Francis' words, another phrase that he coined that I think is beautiful, that the church, we are called to be oases of mercy for anyone and everyone in need. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.